33, Blazer v. Best Bee Brothers.
Thank you, Your Honor. Thank you, Your Honor. And may it please the Court. This appeal arises from the District Court's erroneous grant of summary judgment of non-infringement that was premised on a series of errors, beginning with its faulty claim construction arising out of the fact that it failed to follow all of the well-established long-standing canons announced by this Court over and over again, and culminating in the fact that they, the District Court was essentially forced to make findings of facts about the structure of the accused products in the case because the defendant appellee admittedly in the red brief and deliberately chose not to submit any findings or any statements of material fact regarding that structure. As a result, the District Court had no choice but to look at photographs.
The primary issue you have to persuade us is that there's an error in the claim construction. If there's an error in the claim construction, likely as not requires a remand to redo it in light of a correct claim construction. So can you talk about the claim construction?
Sure. The claim construction, the District Court made two fundamental errors. First, the District Court essentially ignored the plain language of the claim and decided that it needed to define the single claim term at issue, the receptacle adapter, based on a combination of the two independent claims and importing its own understanding of the disclosed embodiments. There were five disclosed embodiments. The District Court looked at those as essentially definitional. It identified what it refers to as four elements that it found to be required to meet the receptacle adapter element of the claim. The first one, that the receptacle adapter had to be located substantially at the bottom of the track.
Right, I think I understand the point that there are actual differences, substantive differences between Claim 1 and 13, and the District Court treated them as if they were all the same. Put that aside, because
okay.
Ultimately the District Court found non-infringement on the adapter term, which is common to the things. One doesn't have to be at the bottom, the other one does have to be at the bottom, one requires a receptacle, the other doesn't actually require the receptacle. But just on the adapter question, why is the District Court wrong about the interpretation of the adapter?
If you look at the language of the claims, both claims 13 and claims 1 effectively define what the receptacle adapter is in the same basic terms. Claim 1 refers to it basically as a structure that is configured to receive a receptacle. Claim 13 defines it as a structure that is adapted to receive at least
okay,
one.
Okay, but that would seem not to be in keeping with the general dictionary definition of what an adapter is. It's something that helps to join two pieces together. So to the extent that the District Court found that there had to be some retention feature, that's consistent with the ordinary meaning of adapter, right?
Not necessarily. I think what you described initially as an adapter, according to the common dictionary definition, is something that assists in the process of joining two pieces together. The receptacle adapter has to assist in that process. It does not have to be the part that attaches the two pieces together. I can envision, for example, an embodiment of the patent where the receptacle adapter is sort of a guide by which the receptacle is placed under or at the side of the body of the trap, but the actual attachment is done by the use of separate screws on the side of the receptacle into the
okay, but,
into the
but
body.
In the specification, there is no embodiment where this board with the hole in it does nothing more than allow the insertion of the receptacle.
There is no embodiment. There are basically, of the five embodiments, there are basically two different variations. One where the receptacle adapter, and referred to in a badly worded specification as a receptacle adapter coupling, is essentially a threaded cap.
The other one is a friction fit.
But just to be clear,
is a friction fit something other than the hole itself in the underboard? Let's just assume this is all underneath.
Sure.
And the rim of the receptacle, or is there a third piece involved in a reception in a friction fit?
There need not be a third piece involved in a friction fit. I mean, the standard definition of a friction fit in mechanical engineering parlance, there could be a third element. There could be an adhesive, for example, or there could be some sort of another.
But if it's light enough, it may just be that is, if the receptacle is light enough, just the tightness.
It could be the tightness.
Maybe you may not need a third piece, and therefore, if that's right, then at least the ordinary. Immediate to bring to mind notion of an adapter as a third component
doesn't seem
to be required, at least by what's described in the spec.
No, in fact, the embodiments in the specification that discuss the friction fit receptacle adapter don't have a third piece. In fact, that is why the district court rejected the Busby Brothers. Proposed construction. Their proposed construction was that there had to be a separate piece. That would read out those embodiments and would read out several of the claims, depending on claims 1 and 13. So.
Okay, but your construction doesn't require anything in the hole that helps to retain the receptacle, right?
It does not. The language...
That seems to me to be a bit of a problem, both in terms of the ordinary definition of something that helps to join, and also in terms of the embodiments in the specification, none of which is a simple hole that allows the receptacle to fit in there.
No, that's correct, Your Honor. The embodiments in the specification do also perform that separate step of retaining the receptacle.
I just want to be clear, because I just thought you gave an answer that's different from the answer you just gave to me. I thought one of the spec examples, the friction fit example, is precisely the board with a hole, and the receptacle top is tight enough that it holds. No third part.
Correct. I didn't mean to deviate from that.
The question I had asked you was, doesn't it have to perform some retaining function?
Right.
And as it does in the friction fit, but in the accused devices, the hole allegedly is not performing any retaining function at all. The retaining function is with respect to tabs on the receptacle.
Well, setting aside the second part of your question for now, whether or not the accused devices have some sort of a retaining element within the holes, you're absolutely correct that the embodiments disclosed in the patent, the five embodiments, whether it's a friction fit or it's a separate coupling device, those all do perform that separate retention function. However, the language of the claim, and the district court acknowledged that the dictionary definitions don't get you all the way there, because there is no common understood use of receptacle adapter. I think the district court says if this was ever used in the common parlance, I have no idea what it meant. But adapter, the common dictionary definition of adapter generally means or embodies some element of joining. The language of the claim specifically defines receptacle adapter as merely receiving. It doesn't include that separate function. There are dependent claims that incorporate that. That separate retaining function, correct?
So is your claim construction that this receptacle adapter is any component that performs the function of retaining the receptacle?
Receiving the receptacle. Our construction.
Why would that not make this into a means plus function claim? I know nobody has argued this, but that the more you drain any meaning except the function out of this term, the more it sounds like a nonce word, even not one of the usual nonce words like means, but still, if you're draining all the meaning out so that anything that performs the function will do, why should this not be a 112F claim
Well, essentially, even if we say that the part of the function is retention, you can make that same argument. We believe that the way it was worded and the way it was intended to be was simply to use the language of the claim to define what a receptacle adapter is. And it, again, it's not the perfectly worded claim, and it does rely on functionality as one of the components for defining that as a structure to receive. But
if I were to think that, based on the arguments being made, mm-hmm. this is a means plus function claim, what would I do with this appeal? Nobody has argued that, and the district court didn't adopt it. But if I thought this really was a 112F means plus function claim, mm-hmm. would I remand?
I think even as a 112, a 112F means plus function element, this still has to be remanded because either of two reasons. First, that's not how the court construed it, so the district court's construction still does not apply.
You would then have to look to see whether the accused products are any
exactly.
of the corresponding structures or their equivalents.
Right, and getting to Judge Dyke's second part of his question before, we believe that those accused structures do have receptacle adapters that do perform both the functions of receiving and retaining.
Okay, but
there was
just
nothing in the record that shows that.
Yeah, let me just try to clarify that, because as I read your brief, you're suggesting that summary apart from the claim construction, even if the claim construction requires that the bottom board perform a retaining function, you say it's a genuine issue of material fact, because in fact the accused products may function by friction fit to some extent at least, right?
Correct, Your Honor.
And so I guess I'm a little puzzled as to where we are on the question of undisputed facts, because if I read the memorandum that was submitted by the defendants and that the district court describes how the accused products work, and it's all has to do with the tabs, and they say it's retained by the presence of these tabs, and your response to that, you don't seem to dispute that. So are we in a situation where we can assume that friction fit is not involved in the accused products, or where are we?
The submissions to the district court and the motion for summary judgment and the citations of the district court to those submissions are all to attorney argument. There's nothing in the record. There are no undisputed material facts regarding how those stops function.
I understand that the district court didn't analyze that, but it is
sure.
a novo review, and we can look at what the record is. I mean, so what I'm really asking, is there a disputed material fact as to whether the accused products function by friction fit?
Yes, Your Honor, there is. We believe that the way that those particular products, the receptacle portions of those products, are structured relative to the holes that are in those traps, there is a friction component. In fact, even without those tabs in there, I believe that you still have to pinch the device to get it out, which suggests that there's a friction element in there.
Okay.
I'm into my rebuttal time.
Further questions?
There are no further questions.
No.
Okay. All right.
Thank you,
Mr. Jacoby. We'll give you 2 minutes for rebuttal. Mr. Boyle?
Good morning. James Boyle from Milwaukee. Honestly, it's tempting to almost say nothing. But you gentlemen record all these things, and our clients want to hear stuff. So.
Some of us might want to hear some stuff, too.
Yeah, friction.
I mean,
fit.
Why didn't the district court err here? It seems like he limited the claim construction to the proposed embodiments, and that's inconsistent with our precedent right off the bat.
Oh, I disagree. I think he looked at the words of the claim, and I think he gave it a broader interpretation than it's really due. I mean, the words mean something. Stepping back for a second about this idea whether it's friction fit, that was never disputed or argued ever by anybody. There was no dispute. The plaintiff never disputed any of the facts that were presented.
Could you address the claim construction issue? I mean, that's at the heart of this case. Whether there's facts supporting his argument after we get to the right claim construction is a different question. But it seems to me even though you disagree, apparently, that the district court has limited this to embodiments, it seems exactly what he did. So why isn't that what he did?
I think he looked at exactly what the words of those claims mean, what the word adapter means, and he looked at how it's described in the specification. That's what I think you're supposed to do.
Okay, I think Judge Hughes is correct. The district court seemed to define the claim in terms of the embodiments, which is not correct. But the question is whether a somewhat similar construction, that is to say that the bottom panel has to perform a retention function and that the specification is giving examples of the retention function, the screw embodiment, the friction fit embodiment, is a somewhat different claim construction, but is that the correct claim construction if the district court is wrong?
I think the district court got it exactly right. All these traps have.
I don't think you're addressing the question. Let's assume the district court got it wrong by confining the claim construction to the preferred embodiments. What is the correct claim construction? Does it require some retention function to be performed by the bottom panel?
I think the adapter is a device that functions to connect two different parts. It is, as you referred to, it should be a third thing, a separate thing.
Well, but that's not consistent with the specification. Not consistent with the friction fit embodiment, for example.
And I would say that's you have to
even,
go by the,
that's an even narrower construction than the district court did, requiring
yes.
a third device. So let's assume that's wrong, too. We're not adopting your proposed, even more narrow construction.
I think you gave a rather broad construction. I guess I don't understand the point. I think it's all, this is the simple.
We're telling you that the claim constructions offered by both parties probably are wrong, and that the district court's claim construction was probably wrong. So we're asking you to help us as to what the correct claim construction is.
I think it has to be a separate thing that connects two parts. That's what I think is the correct interpretation of it.
And you don't have a backup argument if you lose on that? Because you're going to lose on that.
Well.
Because it reads out preferred embodiments, which is contrary to general principles of claim construction.
I don't think preferred embodiments can ignore
that. I want to hear about this claim construction. Do you have a backup claim construction if your separate receptacle adapter third piece is not adopted by us?
Well, it has to be a thing that physically retains the receptacle to the body of the trap. It has to be something. It can't be nothing. All traps have two parts, except flypaper. There's something in which the bug goes in, and there's something in which the bug gets trapped. Well, they all have an opening of some sort, some passage. Plaintiff's invention is you took this device that has screws up on top so you can take a bottle and screw it on and screw it off. He somehow got a patent on it.
You mean threads?
Yeah, this is a thread of things. I have one in my pocket if you want.
I hope it's empty.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a double threaded thing. You thread it up here, you thread it in so you can take a bottle on and off. So that's his invention, is adding that extra piece so you can take a bottle, screw it on, screw it off. All traps have a component in which the bug comes in and a component where the bug gets trapped. So there's an opening here. By saying all that's required by the claim is merely an opening between those two things, well, how is that an advancement over the prior art? Where does that? I don't get it. His invention is to add this adapter, which is a separate piece.
Have you thought at all about this question that I raised, admittedly, I think out of the blue, about whether this might be viewed as a means plus function claim so that because the term adapter seems to not carry, you know, its dictionary meaning as a separate device, because that would be inconsistent with the spec, and the only thing being argued for it is that it perform a retention function, that maybe this is a 112F means plus function claim, and maybe that would require a remand for the, you know, the particular inquiry whether the accused products are include the specification corresponding structure or their equivalents.
Well, I think it's not a 112 because it's not in 112 format. But I made the point at some point in the brief or somewhere, if all that was required is an opening or any means for joining a receptacle to the body of the trap, well, then that's what the claim should have said, just adding a receptacle to the bottom of the trap or means for attaching a receptacle to the bottom of the trap. But it doesn't. It says a receptacle adapter. And those words have meaning. And those words are have further explanation in the patent specification, which I pointed to. Those words have support in the specification.
The prior art shows a bottom panel with a hole in it that can receive a receptacle.
Yes.
So that would seem to suggest that there has to be some retention function served to come within the invention to perform an adaptive function, right?
Yes. And for this patent, a way to attach it, a receptacle, a bottle, attach it, unattach it, attach it, unattach it, so you can replace it. Our guys don't make that.
Can you just remind me what materials about the prior art were part of the claim construction and some and non-infringement summary judgment proceeding?
I'm sorry, say that again?
So if we're trying to understand this term, it certainly could be relevant to understand what the prior art taught and what this patent was seeking to do that was not in the prior art. Where do I look in the record for what this prior art is or for what the spec says it was?
Well,
was any prior art submitted? Did you make any prior art arguments in as part of the claim construction proceeding?
I did that the prosecution history and the prior art was consistent with the interpretation that I was proposing, because the prior art did show a trap that had a body and had a receptacle and had a means for joining it. Interestingly, if you track that prosecution history, they distinguish their traps on the basis that the trap body is more closely resembles a natural nest specifically for carpenter bees. That's how they really got it over that prior art. That this trap is specific for carpenter bees, where these other traps are just more insects, flying insects in general.
So the retention aspect of the prior art may not actually have to be any different from this claim for this claim to overcome prior art.
Well, the prior art did show a separate element for joining those two pieces, and that's, I would say, is supportive of my interpretation why it has to be this separate art. It's certainly consistent.
Okay, anything more?
I really don't.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Ball. Mr. Jacoby, you've got 2 minutes.
Can you tell me clearly what you think the proper construction is?
We believe that the construction that we submitted to the district
just
court.
Say it. Don't give me a lot of prefatory. What is the construction?
A structure that is adapted or configured to receive a receptacle.
Just a hole.
I'm sorry?
Just a hole.
Not necessarily, but there will be a because of the other limitations around receptacle adapter, the fact that it has to either be at the exit hole of the trap or on the bottom of the trap where the exit hole is, the hole becomes part of it. But ultimately, the receptacle adapter does not need to be the hole.
I mean, it sounds like you're just saying a receptacle adapter is a receptacle adapter. You're defining it by just using the same words over again, but the problem with that I have is adapter generally does connote to me a separate structure, which clearly yours doesn't because your embodiments don't necessarily require that. But what you're reciting to me as the claim construction doesn't give me any real understanding of how to define the claim either. It can't be plain meaning because I think the plain meaning of adapter requires a separate structure. And then you're just defining it by saying the same words over again.
The plain meaning in the context of the claims, the language that I just recited is the language of the claims.
I know, so, that's my problem, because it doesn't seem to me that when you use the word receptacle adapter, that you meant the ordinary plain meaning, because that would, at least when you use the term adapter, suggest that it's a separate piece. Adapters are usually a separate piece. But I agree with you that would read out one of the embodiments. So it seems to me you're suggesting that your patent, whether it's lexicography or just reading everything in context, has a different meaning for adapter. But you're not telling me what that different meaning is. You're just saying a receptacle adapter is something that's a receptacle adapter.
Looking at the specification, it has to facilitate the function of receiving and retaining. The retaining is part of that, in the sense that the language of the specification.
A receptacle adapter is a structure, not necessarily separate, that is adapted to receive and retain the receptacle.
Is that the
construction you want, that a receptacle adapter is a structure that is adapted to receive and retain the receptacle?
I believe that the language of the specification requires that it...
Can I get a yes or no? I know, answer yes or no and then tell me why that's irrelevant first. You don't want that or you do want that?
I don't believe that is as broad as what is intended, but I would accept that.
And the part that you think is unduly narrowing is the retention piece, which you can't find in the claim language.
Correct, because the retention piece is not in the claim language, and where it's referred to in the specification is either in the context of the preferred embodiments, where those embodiments do perform the retention.
So what you want is a structure that is adapted to receive the receptacle.
And to assist or facilitate the retention. Where
do you get that?
The language talks about that the receptacle adapter allows for the receiving and retaining. So
retaining has to be part of the claim construction.
Well, the example that I gave you before where the structure is such that the receptacle adapter allows you to guide the receptacle in, and then you attach it by use of screws holding it in. The receptacle adapter itself doesn't perform the retention, but the retention can't happen without the receptacle adapter. So in the broadest sense, your suggestion that it has to also retain, not just receive, is correct.
Okay. Any further questions? Thank you. Thank both counsel. The case is submitted.